Morning. It's my privilege to gavel to order the Police Judicial and Legal Committee for Tuesday, September 6th. It's good to see everybody here. Thank you for coming. Hopefully, you've all seen our agenda. Item number two is approval of the minutes from the August 1st.
Move for approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
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 All right, the minutes are approved. Item number three is public comments. Please come forward, give name and address. And by ordinance, everyone has 2.5 minutes and the clock will be running. So if there's anyone here for public comments, please come forward. No public comments? Okay, I figured there'd be some.
It wouldn't be a meeting if I didn't show up.
Just hand everything to the clerk if you will. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Chris Coleman, 118 Pitt Street. First and foremost, it's good to see the mayor back at his chair. I'm glad to see you are well enough to be with us and hope you for continued good health.
Thank you.
First, noise issues appear mostly at commercial and residential zoning boundaries. We heard that from the police chief. It's not common, but when they appear, they have very significant impacts on the people who live near them. You've heard from people across the town about those impacts and the problems they face. Their homes are being invaded by noise they don't want and they can't control. This can actually happen in quite large areas of this town. Just take a look at the zoning map. Virtually anywhere along the boundaries around Coleman Boulevard or Ben Sawyer will have these sorts of intersections. It could be anybody having this problem appear next. I wanted to focus on why I think 60 is the right number. First, the substantial majority of towns that I've surveyed in Georgia, North Carolina, and South Carolina that use a decibel impact as a standard use 60 or 55. The same is true nationally. There are studies of this as well. So that's a fairly standard number. The scientific literature and UN health bodies support 55. Yeah, because of the health effects from it. It's linked to certain sorts of health disorders, high blood pressure, that sort of thing. I also wanted to focus on the issue that Chief Arnold observed, which is the maker of the noise can generally control it. Yeah, a couple of good examples. You've heard from Hobcaw. At 72 decibels at somebody's home, that's probably high enough to violate the OSHA noise standard on the site. You can turn music down. You can put up sound curtains. It's not that hard. Same thing is true for the post house. It can put up sound curtains behind them or put in sound absorbing materials. And it just isn't fair to the people around them to expose them to noise they can't control and they don't want. One thing I wanted to point out, the best reason I can think of is that during the meeting, somebody pointed out that most of the comments in this city council meeting clock in a little over 60. Well, let me ask you this question. If you could have the city council in your backyard every week at 60, would you want them there? And I think most of you would answer, I don't think so. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. I love being here and I'm very happy for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you very much. Next commenter, please. Please give name and address, and the clock will beep when your time is up. Thank you.
Jeremy Graves, one of the owners of the Post House. I just want to speak on sort of the history of the Post Houses, or the Old Village Commercial in general, was started when the town was incorporated in the 1830s. Would hope that we could think about this being an existing use versus a new use, and talk about the purchase and investment we made based on certain uses, allowed uses, one of which is outdoor dining. And I think that all of our neighbors would say we're happy to work with all of you on all of your issues all the time. And as such, we're happy to work with neighbors on noise ordinance, but at 60 decibels, which CDC classifies as casual conversation, it would preclude outdoor dining, which I think on the heels of a pandemic when people still want to eat outside would be a shame. And I think that as part of commercial zoning there, outdoor use was allowed and should continue to be allowed at reasonable decibel levels. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, please.
Hi, my name is Eva Suarez. I live at 898 Ashley Avenue, and I'm here on behalf of Post House and on behalf of our 90 employees who, like the thousands of individuals employed by Mount Pleasant Restaurants, will bear the greatest financial burden as a result of the proposed changes. I'd like to first note that for the past 2 years since we reopened Post House, we've made it our top priority to engage with our neighbors and local community to ensure that we're operating in a manner that's amenable to the surrounding neighborhood. As a result of direct communication with our neighbors, primarily residing on Venning Pit and Bennett Street, we've implemented the following changes to our operations. We have changed the hours of operation for deliveries, routine maintenance, and daily trash and recycling to ensure that large trucks do not arrive before the hours of 8 a.m. We have removed power to the exterior speakers along the front edge of the property, a measure which was taken after an in-person meeting with the chief of police and several town of Mount Pleasant officials in November of 2021. We recently planted trees along the back edge of our property line to provide additional sound buffering to our Bennett Street neighbors, and we're working to install a soundproof barrier along the back line of that fence. And we repeatedly ensure that our staff and guests are not leaving the premises in a loud or raucous manner. We also attempted to host an open forum to directly address any of the complaints from our neighbors, and had but two neighbors attend the meeting, which was circulated to all the direct neighbors. We have turned to the infographics, which are available on the CDC and OSHA websites, and per federal guidelines, acceptable noise limits reach their limit at 85 decibels, with 60 decibels denoting a normal conversation from 3 feet away, and 70 decibels equating to classroom chatter, which is what we feel is the best representation of the volume in our outdoor courtyard. As such, the proposed amendment would set our business up for failure, incurring repeated violation and bringing an end to outdoor dining. So we're asking that you please consider the reasonable recommendation per federal guidelines by upholding the existing noise ordinance at 75 decibels in non-residential areas and 65 in residential. Thank you for your time and your service.
Thank you. Next, please. Hello.
Hello. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Carmen Scott, and I'm one of the owners of 123 Pitt Street in the Old Village, which currently houses Gala Cafe and Desserts. I'm speaking to you today in opposition to the proposed noise ordinance as currently written. The current ordinance imposes restrictions on business and property owners grounded neither in reason nor regulatory foundation. Furthermore, the enforcement of the noise ordinance will undoubtedly result in economic devaluation, both in operating businesses and property values. These are legally actionable measures for which our business, like many others, can be expected to pursue should the ordinance as proposed pass. There are three primary reasons this committee and council should reconsider the ordinance. First, the proposed violative level of 60 decibels is not tied to any regulatory or reasonable standard. By all government, medical, and workplace standards, 60 decibels is the equivalent of normal conversation. By way of example, I recently measured the level of my neighbor's child's birthday party from my back porch, 68 decibels. 123 Pitt has both a front porch and a courtyard for customer use. Its neighbors to the back and across the street are residences. It is unlikely that a gathering of more than two people in any outdoor space at 123 Pitt would result in a volume that would not exceed the 60 decibels. But if it does, businesses will be required to discourage their customers from enjoying their establishment, something that will cause irreparable harm to these businesses, not to mention a legal right to recovery, and will place a black eye on Mount Pleasant's business development. Secondly, imposing unreasonable restrictions on the business prevents full use of property and will diminish property values. We purchased the property at 123 Pitt Street in 2020 and paid a hefty sum for the building, increasing the taxable base, of which Mount Pleasant receives a sizable sum annually. We recruited Gala Cafe and Desserts as our tenant, who, as you will hear from the story shortly, intentionally moved to Mount Pleasant, paid and pays Mount Pleasant licensing fees, employs over a dozen people, and provides a desirable service in our town. The permitted use for 123 Pitt Street includes the use of the front porch. The ordinance as currently proposed will unreasonably restrict the full enjoyment and use of these areas for fear of fines, will cause revenue loss, and irreparable harm to Gala's business. The inability to provide Gala or any business at 123 Pitt the full enjoyment of these areas will diminish the property's value, creating an inability to obtain full lease value in the future for us as the owners. In other words, the town's arbitrary proposed noise restrictions serve no substantial government interest and may be recognized under South Carolina law as a partial taking. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Next, please.
Good afternoon. Jacqueline Story, 2020 Proximity Drive. I own the Gala Cafe and Bakery in the heart of Old Village Commercial District. I had my business in Avondale and West Ashley for 8 years and in part moved because of the beautiful outdoor space available at my new location on Pitt Street. I have a lovely court and porch for patrons to enjoy and is a big part of my business. One of the main reasons people love Mount Pleasant is for our climate and the ability to enjoy outdoor dining. The new ordinance would make that impossible and have a negative impact on my business and many others. 60 decibels is incredibly low. A single person can speak well above that limit. After the last 2 years of unprecedented distress on small businesses, we really need support from our town council more than ever. Your support in this manner is truly appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
Good morning. My name is Nick Mead, 1006 Planner's Curve. To finish Carmen Scott's statement, finally, the ordinance as proposed levies greater burdens on businesses with outdoor components and therefore restricts these businesses' ability to compete with solely indoor businesses. This ordinance as presented creates unfair business advantages for Mount Pleasant businesses that do not rely on outdoor elements to survive. If these unreasonable restrictions are put in place, these businesses will lose their ability to compete either by having to curtail their business operations or suffer fines for violations of the ordinance. Either case has significant economic consequences to businesses that already struggle to succeed. This ordinance creates potential legal consequences on behalf of both the lessees whose businesses have suffered economic consequences and owners who lose value of the property as a result of enforcement. As a side note, the proposed ordinance is absent any restrictions or fines for those who abuse it. It places the complete burden on the outdoor business. Now to go to my notes. I've been to numerous businesses that have had live music the past 3 months with a decibel reader. I feel it's unfair to go with 60 decibels. What I feel is fair is to move it to 85 decibels at the property line of the business and over 85 decibels at the complainant's property line, but only if a complaint occurs. Both must be over the 85 decibels in order for the business to be fined. I feel the business should be given a number of warnings per complainant before receiving a citation. As you guys know from all the complaints that you guys have received, it's only a handful of the same people that complain over and over. There's numerous businesses will be directly impacted, as you've heard from Post House, Gala Desserts, Mainland Container, where all these properties have residential property backed up to them. What are we going to do about Party at the Point? Are they going to require a special event? Anybody could call on them every time that they have it. What about the football games? Questions that I have that I would like to please have answers to at some point. sustained volume, or is it once it's read? The way the ordinance is written now is the minute it reads over 60 decibels, that's when they can fine. It should be a sustained volume. Are all officers going to be given the same decibel reader, and will the public know what make and model? Are they also trained to calibrate these decibel readers? And closing, you moved here to adapt. You moved here to enjoy the town of Mount Pleasant, as did I. Enjoy, or you have the option to move. You choose to move into a commercially zoned area. We're all here trying to live and have an enjoyable time, but don't move next to an area that's commercially zoned and then try to change everything that the town has created. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next.
Good morning. My name is Cheryl Schaun. I live at 241 Middle Street in Mount Pleasant. I'm here in my individual capacity as well as the capacity as legal representation owners of the Post House. And I appreciate your time this morning. Mr. Mayor, members of the committee, I would incorporate the comments of those who preceded me in opposition to this ordinance on a number of grounds. One, first and foremost, the 60 decibel level that's proposed, that's incredibly low. In fact, it is pretty much the equivalent to the sound made by a flushing toilet or normal conversation. And while I don't want to particularly reveal the grounds for this, I will say that should this be enacted the way it is, I think we can all anticipate litigation coming. So what I would like to do is try to avoid that and work together to make an ordinance that is amenable to both the residents who are unhappy with noise levels and to the businesses who are trying to survive and increase the tax base of this town. So in that light, if I might point out, and again, at the cost of being redundant, this ordinance provides an incredibly low decibel level. It has exceptions without reason. For instance, lawn equipment is excluded, which is actually a favorable designation to those who may be engaged in the business of providing lawn services, but not to those engaged in the business of food and beverage. Why would there be a discriminatory level attached to those? To those that are opposing the noise and in favor of an extraordinarily low decibel level, I would point out to those individuals, they are equally responsible to maintain their noise levels as well. So, as Ms. Scott mentioned, a child's birthday party, an event on a deck, a barbecue at your house. Let's take, for instance, as somebody mentioned, the Wando football games, the lacrosse games, Alhambra Hall. I'm five houses from Alhambra Hall. Is the police department going to be tasked with going down there and ticketing every individual there? I don't want to reveal to you necessarily all the issues that are exceptions to this and on which it'll be challenged, but these are things we need to work together in order to reach a workable ordinance that allows these individuals to maintain their businesses, to function in this town, to deliver services to these individuals, including those who complained about the noise, and to live together as a community. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
Mayor, members of council, my name is James Scott, and I live at 415 Church Street. Along with my wife, I'm one of the owners of 123 Pitt Street, which is the home of Gala Cafe and Desserts. Since my wife and I purchased that building almost 2 years ago, we have faced repeated challenges from one neighbor who's contested everything from our zoning and parking to our seating capacity. This individual drove all the way to Columbia to argue unsuccessfully for an hour before a state magistrate in an effort to block this legally operated business from selling alcohol. The same individual is now leading the citizens charge to crack down on noise. You all need to understand that noise is only the latest vehicle in a lengthy pattern of harassment against Old Village businesses. In fact, much of this individual's presentation in Columbia consisted of him showing nighttime video of the Post House's courtyard. We've also photographed him shooting pictures of our courtyard, which I've shared with this council. We are Old Village residents. We live six houses away from the Gala Bakery, and we don't object to reasonable limits on noise. But 60 decibels is not reasonable. It is, as defined by CDC and OSHA, as normal conversation between individuals. By using this microphone, I'm violating the town's proposed ordinance. If OSHA and the CDC both defined 85 decibels as being the threshold for noise being too loud, how did the town come up with such a super low number? Were any businesses consulted? How about audio experts, sound engineers? Or was this number just in taking the recommendation of a handful of individuals? You all need to understand that if you pass this ordinance, you are not fixing an issue, but you are creating one. You will deputize certain individuals to continually harass legally permitted and zoned businesses from using their properties. You will enable a select few individuals to damage businesses who employ Mount Pleasant citizens, pay Mount Pleasant property taxes and business license fees, and who have chosen to make our town their home. Our tenant, in fact, as you already heard, chose to relocate her wonderful business from Avondale to the Old Village, selecting our community over downtown Charleston, which was her other opportunity. If you pass such an anti-business ordinance as this one, you will only make sure that the next such business chooses downtown instead of Mount Pleasant. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, please. Anyone else for public comment before it closes? Yes, sir.
Hi, I'm Rob. Oh, sorry. I'm too tall for this thing. Yeah, that was over 60. Rob Corbett, 1209 Meadow Park Lane. I'm a local musician. I always try to be super respectful of noise. I always ask the crowd and the manager, how's the volume for my first song? They usually go like this. I never want, people want to be able to talk at bar and not just have music blasting them. So I don't like when bands are too loud either. I hate it. And I don't want neighbors to be disturbed because we want to keep bringing this joy to this town. The thing I hear the most often from family, especially Shem Creek and all over Mount Pleasant, I play Wild Dunes all the time too, that's out there, but is the joy it brings their kids. A lot. I can't tell you how many times a family has been, this is the first time our two-year-old ever danced. Our five-year-old can't stop dancing. It's joy. Live music brings joy to places, but we need to be reasonable about the volume. Now, having said that, 60 decibels is ridiculous. It will kill live music. It will put us out of business. It will take joy away from this town. You know, just because someone moves from New Jersey and wants to shut everything down, we can't do that. We need to keep this a joyful town, full of joy, please. So 85 is perfect. Thanks.
Public comments, anyone? Yes, sir.
Good morning, Mike Tinkey, 208 Venning. Thank you for your time and deliberation on the proposed noise ordinance. Please focus your deliberations on comparative ordinances, noise research, and the Mount Pleasant Police Department 3-month decibel level noise measurements, which included both commercial and residential locations. Note that the Mount Pleasant Police Department commercial measurements were done in the establishment's parking lot and not the property line of the complainant's property where this, the town ordinance proposes the ordinance specified. Using the Mount Pleasant Police Department study demonstrates clearly that 60 decibels or less of the receiving property would be the average given that the measurements were taken at the location where the noise came from. So I ask you to go back and you deliberate this. Go back and take the time before you make your recommendations and look at the Mount Pleasant Police Department's 3-month noise study. For example, I measured the noise from a band at Saltwater Cowboys this Saturday of Labor Day at weekend, busy time at 5:22 p.m. The decibel level from Haddrell Street and the level was on average under 60 decibels because it's from the receiving property. In addition to the local study, regional and national noise study validates 60 daytime and 50 decimal levels. Anything more than 60 decimal levels daytime and 50 nighttime would put Mount Pleasant among the noisy, most noisy town and lax ordinance in the country. The keep 9 o'clock at the end of the day for daytime hours, it is currently stands, and that's been working. Ending daytime hours at 10:30 defies reason. I agree with the previous person on the landscape and construction noise. That needs to be attended to. Adding sound barriers on the areas that are adjacent to each other, great. The post house has done a good job. They're working with us on that, and that's going to make a difference by putting those noise adapting in. You've been threatened with lawsuits. If you look at the legal opinion by the Secretary of State, Alan Wilson, which you have in front of you, it specifically says that these can be supported. So that's from the South Carolina Secretary of State. So I agree with the post house. The post house has done a terrific job the last 3 months. I highly recommend what they've done. The gala, fantastic. I don't think see any problem whatsoever with the noise ordinances. If I did, I would be the first to say so. So I ask you to look at Mount Pleasant Police Department and the Secretary of State's before you make any determinations.
Thank you. Public comment. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Hi, my name is Shannon Carter, 334 Hook Lane. Spoken at the last couple meetings. Remember, I was one, had the video of the live music in my backyard, is what it sounds like every single time, and what 60 decibels sounds like when you can hear it in and through the house and anywhere on the property. And so what I brought here, just some of the things I feel like would help address that. My, like I said, my biggest concern is live music. Don't get me wrong, I love music. I grew up with a family in the music industry, but it must be on your own terms and not dictated to you and being pushed to you to have to listen to somebody else's music all the time. Things I'd like to see addressed were just in the definition of the plainly audible and kind of removing of the conversation, conversation level, addressing specifically prohibited items in the ordinance E2 and E4. We're removing inside a dwelling and inclusion of the real property. But my main point I feel is important here is reinstituting a limited number of special permits, which is what was in place before. Live music is not a core tenant to most business operations unless you are a concert venue or special events. And having a permit would allow them to people to put on special events and do that. As it's right now, I don't believe a one-size-fits-all would allow basically many concerts to occur on a daily basis. And any normal outdoor concert venue would not be allowed to do a concert on an every single day basis. And so I feel that I need to go back and research that piece of it, which was part of the ordinance up until a couple months ago. About reinstituting that for those businesses that where it's not a core tenant of their business to be allowed to have on special occasion special events of that nature.
Thank you. Anyone else for public comment before we close public comment? Going once. All right. Thank you all for your very informative comments. We appreciate that very much. That will close item number three on the agenda and move us to item number four, police matters, employee years of service recognition. Chief Arnold, good to see you.
Good morning, Mayor, committee members. Good morning. Officer Gene. This morning, I have the privilege of recognizing some of our employees for their years of service. First one is Lauren Jean. You might know her. She's our resident Olympian. She's also started in September of 2017. She's started in the patrol division, became a school resource officer. She is absolutely beloved by the students and staff at Laurel Hill Primary. Thank you for 5 years. Look forward to many, many more. George Mayer. Senior Police Officer Mayer joined in September of 2017 in the Patrol Division. Quickly found a passion for traffic enforcement. I see him most mornings when I drop my child off at school out directing traffic, keeping traffic flowing. I think we all know how important good flow of traffic is in town. So it's done an excellent job. Thank you for 5 years and look forward to many more.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
and Sergeant Brandon Croy. Sergeant Croy has been with the Mount Pleasant Police Department for 10 years. He served in many different roles. He's currently serving as the training sergeant for the police department. We wouldn't have great SROs and great traffic officers if it wasn't for a foundation of excellent training. Sergeant Croy has done a tremendous job since taking over this role. Right now we have 16 new recruits in some phase of training. We're hiring several more on Monday. Very, very busy. Just can't say enough about the professional job that you do. So thank you for 10 years of service and look forward to many more. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there a recognition for DUI enforcement? There we go.
Captain Carter, our resident DUI expert, is going to handle that.
Got it. Thank you.
Yes. If I could have a traffic unit come forward and Schoonmaker. In July, Mothers Against Drunk Driving South Carolina held the 2022 Dinner and Training Symposium. As part of their law enforcement recognition, they took nominees for their DUI activities. Out of the 60 nominations that came in from state, county, and local agencies, two of our very own were nominated for their DUI enforcement activities, SPO Raymond Schoonmaker and SPO Robert Trey Matthews. So their hard work on their DUI arrests and successful prosecutions and even the support of our MAD victim impact panel raised them to the top of it. And Officer Schoonmaker was recognized as one of the 10 to receive the Maddie Award for his 59 DUI arrests last year out of the hundreds of officers in South Carolina. Also, due to the hard work of all of our officers, the Mount Pleasant Police Department was recognized as the 2021 DUI Enforcement Hero Agency of the Year at the Amati Awards out of all the agencies. And so we were chosen as that. And so that's why members of our traffic unit are here to just represent the whole agency approach we do on DUI enforcement and trying to keep it safe. And additionally, earlier in the year, the South Carolina Department of Public Safety recognized Mount Pleasant as the Agency of the Year and for DUI arrests, DUI victim services, and anti-underage drinking programs. So we received a lot of recognition for our DUI enforcement. We take it very seriously here in trying to keep our roadways safe and take impaired drivers off of our roads. For a city our size, we should have a lot more issues from it, and luckily, due to their aggressive enforcement, we've been able to have impact on it. So just want to recognize them for that.
Outstanding. Thank you. Spread out.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good job, guys.
Thank you very much. Item 5 is judicial matters. There are none. Item 6 is legal matters, continued discussion, and possible action regarding an ordinance to repeal and replace the noise ordinance of the Mount Pleasant Code of Ordinances. Mr. Pagliarini, I believe you have gathered some input from council members for some possible things they would like to have. Just a couple of things I want to say. It passed first reading. It has to pass second reading. Amendments can only be made at second reading. The other thing I want to say, just to clear up any misunderstanding, there's not a limit of 60 decibels of noise that can be created. It's 60 decibels at the dwelling or the property of the person making the complaint. I went out one night, went to the post house, who has done an excellent job, and it didn't even register. There was outdoor dining. I was with a police officer. We had the decibel. It wasn't even, I don't even know if it was 30 or 40, but great job that y'all are doing there. Then we went to Saltwater Cowboys. We went inside on the deck level, and it was in the 90 to 95 range. It was hurting my 60-year-old ears. It really, I was the grumpy old man wanting to say, turn this music down. We went to the property immediately next door with no vegetative buffer, no anything, nothing but water, standing on a dock, and it wasn't as far as here to that wall, and it didn't even register 55. So I just want to say this has not been done without some research. This has not been done without 3 months of gathering data. I want to thank the police department for doing that, not just on calls or complaints, but going out and saying, oh, here's some live music. Let's see what it reads. So that's how we arrived at what passed in first reading. So it's not that no music can make higher than 60 decibels. It's what it reads at the complainant's property, which is a very big difference. When we talk about reaching 60 in here, well, we're talking to each other. We're confined in this space. But if you were getting 60 over there at our neighbors where they're trying to do financial advising and lawyer work, I don't think they would want our conversation to sound as loud inside their walls as it sounds in here where it's intended to. So I just wanted to clear up some of those discrepancies. Mr. Pagliarini, I will turn it over to you now for where we are and what some possible proposals are.
Thank you, Mayor. Good afternoon, members of the committee. And just for recap purposes, as the mayor said, we are currently past first reading. And for the benefit of our audience, the citizens, and for our council and staff, as you all know, this was brought out of committee. And at first reading, there are no allowed changes. So when this comes back to council for second or final reading, that's when amendments would be appropriate. So we are still in that process to consider those. This committee has several options. Of course, it can be submitted to council with no further recommendations. It can be submitted up to council with recommendations for change. It can be brought back to this committee or any other committee next month or sometime thereafter. So that those are the basic options. For, again, everyone's benefit, the process has been extensive. For a recap, you will see the first section of the ordinance relates to definitions where sound, complaint, or complainant, all of these types of elements are defined, construction, and the sound level in decibels, how that is all measured, and the units and the like. Noise measurements. This is one of the elements of the ordinance, and I would pause here to say that there are really two. One section of the ordinance relates to the decibel standard, sort of the objective measurement. There is, of course, another element to it, which is, which I'll follow up in a minute, but that is basic noise, excessive noise as we define it. And that is more of a subjective provision. And the reason for that is to arm our police officers, those who are out there enforcing, when a typical noise meter or measurement is not going to work, there is still the element of reasonableness, subjective enforcement when there is noise. So you'll see as we go to the section related to measurements, as the mayor stated, it is measured from the property line of the complainant's property, and that there is no individual other than the operator within the vicinity of that measurement. It has to be contemporaneous. I don't believe under any circumstance our enforcement officers could take the word of a citizen, whether it's shown somehow recorded or somehow proven, it has to be contemporaneous. So again, that leaves open the other portion of the ordinance where the subjective measurement could be utilized. And of course, no interference. Maximum decibel levels. This has been a significant point of discussion and a focus during our 90-day trial period. And you will see in the first reading that 60 decibels during daytime hours, which are measured between 8 a.m. and 10:30 p.m., and 55 decibels during evening hours, which has been defined as 10:30 p.m. to 8 a.m. This is the excessive noise portion, the subjective portion, and this covers items that may not fall into the neat category that can be measured by decibel meter. And you will see that volume, intensity, nature, unusual, all of those factors that our law enforcement would consider. I would point out that this was basically, although not this type of detail, what our current slash prior ordinance provided. So it was more of a flexible approach, more of a judgment approach. Specific provision, prohibitions. So again, this is singling out some elements or items that would not be permitted. So horns, devices, you'll see under number 5, the mufflers. This was a point of discussion at the council meeting. Those types of issues, amplified sound, building noise. You'll see number 3, building operations between the hours of 9 p.m. and 7 a.m. Are prohibited. Noise that is plainly audible from the inside of a residence or place of a business of a receiving property shall constitute a violation of this section. You will see that some of these, again, are further qualified when we get to the exceptions. No employee liability. As far as enforcement is concerned, this would be against ownership. Any violations could not be or should not be attributed to employees who are otherwise performing within the scope of their work. Exceptions. Emergency warning devices, police, fire, amplified sound that is within an enclosed building. Mayor, to your point, I think this is where that section is codified, not audible from the outside of that building. Permitted and special events, emergency work, construction and repair of public roadways, public work projects, and other projects as permitted by the town. One of the elements of construction that we've seen gather force in the last 10 to 15 years is nighttime work on roads, especially. Our state, DOT, and the like have decided that that is a safer, more productive time to perform these types of activities, and that is the reason that that exception is in there. As mentioned by one of our citizens, the lawn care equipment and agricultural field equipment used during daytime hours, that is listed as an exception. Garage machinery, emission from lawful sound source on public rights of way. So a question has been asked many times about traffic, and is that a noise violation if you're driving along the road, and how would that be enforced? So that is an exception. And emergency signaling systems. So beyond that, the violation provision, which is our standard provision, 30 days and or $500 is the fine. And I will go down to proposed revisions and questions. We put this out to council as discussed at the council meeting and received a number of questions and suggestions. So these are questions. How is the reading taken? And that is a little bit of outside of my scope to be able to answer how, but there are manufacturer suggestions you'll see in the ordinance that it all noise readings must be taken in accordance with manufacturer suggestions. Maximum decibel levels. This is a proposed revision by one of our council members, 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. for Sunday to Thursday, daytime hours, as you can see. And another suggestion, 60 decibels for daytime hours, too low, with a proposed increase to 65. And violations, the first offense should be a warning, was one of the suggestions that we received as well. So that is the broad scope. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I think we all have some questions. I guess the first question would be, and to put it out there for public, this would normally come before council this coming Tuesday, week from today. Keep forgetting today's not Monday. Next Tuesday for second or final reading. Correct?
Yes, sir. That is correct. Unless this council or committee wishes to hold it over for another month, which would be acceptable as well.
Okay. And if we do that, what does the town code say? How long after first reading does second reading or final reading have to occur?
Well, there is no prescribed limit as far as issues like this. We do have in our zoning code certain limitations based on public hearings, but this theoretically could proceed until a new council was seated.
So we could recommend, although council doesn't have to live by that recommendation, we could recommend that we don't have final reading a week from today while we work on some of these details.
Correct, sir.
All right, that's my first question. Just to set the process, I'll turn it over to committee members to see what comments or questions y'all may have, because I know I've got some. Yes, sir.
Yeah, Peter first. Been working on this a long time. Definitely need something improved from the old ones we had. Being from my prior job, I know how important it is for the police department to have something that's impossible. For me, Mayor and Committee, there's a three-pronged test for me with this. Is it equitable? Is it equitable to the neighborhoods? Is it equitable to our restaurants or outdoor dining or music? It has to be for me to vote yes. And I'm still working through some of this to see where it's equitable in my mind and hearing from both our residents and our business owners. Talk about enforceable. You know, it is enforceable. I see where one of my fellow council members recommended that we start a warning. I don't think we as a committee or elected body need to be telling our police officers what the enforcement's going to be and when. I think we provide them with a good ordinance. We got some work to do, I think, to get to that good ordinance and give them that tool to do their job. They have the discretion to write a ticket just like they do now with any violation that they come across, to include a warning. And I don't want to take anything away from our police officers or our chief. And right away, they have a nuisance place that is a definite problem that deserves a ticket from that first response. And so, out of the ordinary, and if we take that away from our police officers, I want that discretion to stay in oven. You know, it's got to be clear and unambiguous. We can't have an ordinance where you read page one, page two, it gets confusing. So I think we got a little bit of housekeeping to do with that, and I know Spagrini's done a great job with it. I keep hearing some of our folks that come and have their comments about the decibel level inside. I understand, you're pretty clear with that, Mayor, and some of the other council members. It's not what's going on right now. I'm sure I'm above. I've always been accused of being loud in school. I'm always told to be quiet and get on that. I'm probably well above whatever that decibel level is. But it's what is going on away from you? Are you able to enjoy your home? I live near the airport, and I'm hearing more and more airplanes now out there. More and more jets are flying. You know, I hear that. But it doesn't last long. You know, I think that's what we got to look at. Is this a sustainable nuisance? Is this something that's been ongoing, or is it something that happens quickly and it's gone? My gosh, we as human beings, we have discomfort, unfortunately, but we don't have to have it ongoing. It can be something that we can deal with. Wando Bennett, I love hearing that from my back porch, you know, with kids playing ball. I've never allowed for North Bay Pass where I couldn't hear the band, which is miles away from where I live, or hear our rec fields, hear kids playing ball and the crack of the bat and hitting the ball. For me, those things cannot be taken away from this town. That outdoor dining, you got to look at that very hard. So your nail guns at 9 o'clock at night either. We have a lot of roofing going on, new roofs being put on, and when I'm hearing a nail gun at 9 o'clock at night, that's a bit of the wing. It bothers me. I deal with it. But we can't penalize our workers out there either. You know, construction folks, our landscapers. Maybe we need to look at a 7-7 time or something where these type of outdoor construction activities can go, where, you know, things that happen inside, that type of construction you don't hear. So I could probably say a lot more, but I think that kind of, y'all understand where I'm coming from. We need this ordinance, folks. We have to have something. but you serve my three pieces I need. I need to be enforceable, equitable, and clear and ambiguous. That's what I think, Mayor, when we finish this, maybe we do need to take an additional month. We've been very deliberate in trying to come up with what our ordinance is. Why rush to next Tuesday if we take a little bit longer? It was interesting being on council now, as we have these meetings in these public comment area moments, different people come at different times. You may hear one perspective, one committee meeting, then you hear from a different group of our community. So it's important now to hear all and let me, as a committee member, digest that and maybe others. So I'll yield my comments for now.
I want to say I strongly agree. I think, if I may, before other council members speak, one reason I have been a proponent of this is right now there is no objective standard. So if somebody wants to harass a business, they can start calling and just say, well, I think it's too loud. And then we've got a call, and then our police have to use, what do you call it, prosecutorial discretion, I believe is the legal term. But there's no objective standard. So we've been trying to arrive at one, because if we don't have one and somebody does not like your business, they can call us every single night and say, you're disturbing my peace, you're disturbing my peace. And we can't have that because that's anarchy. We're not trying to eliminate live music. We're certainly not trying to eliminate that. The biggest, as I was writing down notes, the biggest thing I see is the point that was made about lawn care. And again, a lot of this is something that we probably need to receive in executive session at some point, not today, but to find out as we write that. With 40,000 homes in this town, if the ordinance has to apply to lawn care, I don't know how we would have one, because we don't have the police to respond to all the calls there would be about leaf blowers in the morning. So that's a very serious consideration that I need some answers on. And then the other is another is how you take that reading. Is it one spike? Is it over 5 minutes? Is it over 10 minutes? It was very informative to me, and I admonish everybody before you vote on second reading, go out with the police, go out with the decibel meter and see what it's like. But I strongly would say, and maybe this will sort of wrap this up for us, that we recommend to council we not pass second reading this Tuesday. Let's bring this back next month. Let's work with the folks in the room. Let's work with council members and see what we can do. Because if we pass an ordinance that is challenged or is struck down or is tied up in court, then we haven't accomplished anything either. So I would like to know how y'all feel about that. Is there a motion that we bring this
back? I'll move that we delay bringing this back for at least 1 month.
Second.
Okay. So to be clear on the wording, that we bring this back to this committee and not have council vote on final reading. That's the motion. That's the second. Yes, any comment? All right. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. So it's unanimous that we would like to bring this back to this committee in a month. I'd like to continue the conversations with everybody in the room and see how we can get to something that works, so that we actually have an ordinance that has objective measures and is not totally subjective. All right. Thank you all for the vote. Item number 7 on this is to adjourn. So we will stand adjourned.